This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Dig your cleats in.
Line drive sailing away from
an impossible catch. Oh my goodness.
This is the Hot Corner with Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher.
What did I do wrong? What did I see wrong?
Covering all things baseball, the big leagues, and the MLB to Portland.
And there's another rocket. Mike Trout has tied it up with an absolute bomb to the top of the facade in left center field. Talk about Stanton territory. Trout hammers it, and it's 4-4, 473 feet.
Now, here are your hosts, Patrick Harris and Joe Fisher on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome into the Hot Corner for a must-be a Tuesday, baby. But it's always a Tuesday around here. Patrick Harris with you, Joe Fisher to my left. Let's go! Schultzy back on the ones and twos. Our fill-in producer, Jordan Schultz, is here again.
Good to
see you.
Glad
to have you, bud.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really weird, wacky couple like weeks or month. I apologize, but I'm here.
We understand. The Jordan Schultz, Will Ortner train. Like, we understand what's going on.
Jordan had to take the day off to celebrate his birthday like a kindergartner.
That's awesome.
Right. Well, I mean, I was out at the casino on the beach, so I
got to hit the casino.
Do you want me to come back from the casino here to do the show and then go back?
I'd like to see some dedication, yeah.
Yeah, might be some tipsy Jordan that you get now really ready to do the show.
You know, back in the day, there
already
were times.
Barfed in that studio once before, so I mean,
you
come
shut
on.
Your mouth. You're right, though. I have.
There were times where I rolled into the old studio.
Oh, the old Bancroft.
The old Bancroft, right on the banks of the poop-filled Willamette. I rolled in there with my pickup truck full of 5 days' worth of rafting camping stuff, just praying that nobody would rob me while I was doing this stupid baseball show. And fortunately, I got away with it every time.
You made it out alive.
You're lucky.
What's funny is I feel like I am more vulnerable in this parking lot than I was in that parking lot.
Right? It could also just be me and the fact that I've already had my car broken into once.
No, I already forgot about you.
No, I'm talking about me personally. I don't care about you, just like you don't care about me.
God, I love you. This is why we do this, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's like every day I go out to my car. It's just this fear in the bottom.
Like,
I'm like, just
how we look. How
just,
we look?
No, everything no. There? For the love of God. Also, I want to bring something up. This studio just has a funk.
Like, well, there's a lot going on in here. Right,
I don't
now,
know
Joe.
If it's the four random quilts that are on this couch. I don't know if it's the bag of money that you now have.
Oh, hello.
Spread out all over the table that was in a Grand Central Bakery bag, which was then like in a Panda Express bag.
I don't like any of the bags. The bags are giving me a ton of anxiety. Like, I don't want the bags.
And then you, my friend, when I went over to smelt the dollar bills, I just got a whiff, strong scent of tobacco.
That's got to be from the bills. That ain't me. I quit smoking cigarettes a long time ago.
Can we get a Scentsy in here or something? A candle, some sort of like a diffuser of some sort.
We think these are in bands of $10. Now it's rubber bands. Why wouldn't you do 100?
I mean, what is this? What are those for? I'm so confused.
Oh, that is...
Schultz doesn't know.
No, you missed the developments
a couple
weeks ago. You missed
Jeek Caesus, huh?
Yeah.
Yes, and yes. I have no... Jeek Caesus.
Yes.
Jeek Caesus.
Oh, okay.
He looks like this.
Which is
the YouTube people.
Like Bigfoot with a guitar?
Yes.
He's about
ZZ Top with a guitar.
Thank you. Okay.
Someone that goes by Jeek Caesus, that is about as what I expected him to look like.
Which is just, we all know that's a reverse of Seek Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Okay, I just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
We're all there with you.
They're playing with the letters there.
No, Dusty left the station one day and went out into the parking lot where this Jeek Caesus fellow was out there, and he's like, hey, is I just like a shoot in there?
And Dusty's like, please don't shoot me.
Yeah. And he's like,
or stab me.
I need to get something to them. And he's like, well, I can't.
Anthrax.
I can't get you in there, bud. So what's going on? He's like, here, I got something for them. He reaches in his bag and he pulls out this Grand Central Bakery bag.
What the hell?
And it says on there in a Bic blue pen to Mike Lynch on there. And within this Grand Central Bakery bag is just, I believe, 31 bundles of $1 bills in
so
$10
cool.
denominations.
We think
it's $310 to donate to Voldemort's battle against Harry Potter.
That's actually really nice. Our listeners step up even if they look like homeless people. Apparently they're going to stab you.
Hey, but...
you know, Schultzy has the best outlook on this of anybody. Yeah. He's like, God, I love our listeners. And Dusty's like, I feared for my life.
Well, if I were Dusty, I would have as well, but I'm not there.
And Isaac and Sugar are like, thank God Dusty was out there and not us.
Well, shouts to Jeek Caesus.
Yeah, thank you, Jeek.
I hope that's his real name.
I got a text from Jeff Montpellier today to take this money.
And coordinate the handoff.
Coordinate the handoff.
You're basically like a drug cartel member.
Yes. I did reach out to Ashley Voldemort, and we'll figure out how this goes down.
Or doesn't. And we have a good time at Fan Madness.
You know, I listen to the boys. Look, the primetime boys, the primetime guys, okay, the boys are the morning. The morning are the boys. The primetime are the guys. I listen to the guys go through this whole thing. I text you, Joe, and I text Buck, and I was like, what is going on? Because I just happened to be in my car listening to
it
live.
Yeah, you did reach out to me. You're like, what the hell are they talking about?
I just happened to be in my car listening to it live. Buck was so cute. I love Buck. He said to me, he goes, they're about to explain it right now. Are you listening? That's how you know, right?
That's what he said?
Yeah. Well, he was like, they're explaining it on air now.
That's almost a swag-esque text right there.
Right, right. I totally was gaslit into...
Per my email.
Per my email, you dip. And then Rob and I were texting, and Rob was like, do you think you can get this to Mike? I was like, yeah, I can do it. It'll be in Cooley's place. And then...
just buy him a bunch of Orioles and Cleveland gear.
And I loved is Isaac and Jason were talking about doubling down on this money.
Yeah.
And now that it's in my possession, I think it's the best idea because look, I am not made of money.
You should put it on the Yankees win total under
like
up at A&A.
I am not made of made of money. By any means. Like, I don't have, like, some fat stash of cash, although, despite what's in front of me.
I mean,
optics
aren't great for you.
I am very tempted to go gamble this money, and if I lose it, pay what it is to Mike. So, like, he won't lose any money. But I am willing to, because I have not donated any money because my friendship is invaluable.
Wow. How about you?
So I
Eagle even donated, you douche.
So I have not donated any money to the Great Voldemort Research Fund. But I'm tempted to lay this all down at Fan Madness.
What would you lay it down on? Would it be a college basketball bet? Would it be a...
If Syracuse made the tournament, which they ain't, just heads up, I would put it all on Syracuse.
Okay.
But they're not there. So now I'm tempted to just throw this down on... I love the idea of Yankee over-under.
And you would
love
have to
that
go,
idea.
You'd have to go under win total just to make it even... Even worse for Mike.
Just to poop on Voldemort?
Yes.
Just to be like, I think your Yankees suck? You know, I did tell him at
that way he has to root for the Yankees having a less win total.
I did tell him at his wedding. I did say to him at his wedding, you know, Mike, I always told you, Lou Gehrig was the greatest Yankee of all time. And now you agree with me, right?
Jeez.
I know. Abby, my wife, looked at me and was like, do not absolutely say that to him. Do not say that. I told the joke to Nemec because he was sitting right next to me. And he's laughing hysterically. He goes, don't say that at all. And then we're chatting with Mike and I totally dropped it. And Mike lost his ass. He loved it.
Well,
he loved
it. You got lucky.
I said, I told you, Gehrig's the best Yankee of all time.
Maybe bet it on the Red Sox winning the World Series. What are the odds on that one?
But Jason also said, just put it on black.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Just let it ride.
Roulette, baby.
That or
just throw it on black.
Hand of blackjack. Why not?
Just one hand of blackjack?
Yeah, one hand. Oh, so God. Variance doesn't screw you here. You either get lucky or you don't. Kind of like on the roulette wheel.
Now that it's in my hand.
What if you get an 11? Then you got to double down.
Oh, we double down.
Oh, I'll contribute.
Oh,
to
we
help
double
down.
Down.
We get.
Oh, you got a. Oh, fives split.
Yeah.
Split.
Well, and then a.
You got two queens split.
Split, and then a double down. We're going triple,
without
baby.
Without a doubt.
I'd make it happen.
Without a doubt.
Hey, I will say I am very much looking forward to Fan Madness because I do not go to the casino at all during
me
the calendar
neither,
year.
Me neither. I'll be there Thursday.
I will be there Friday.
Yeah. I might be there a little bit on Friday. Whoa. I got to work Friday afternoon, but I will be there on Thursday. I might be there a little bit on Friday.
Maybe you call in sick and you hop on the old Odyssey Portland party bus at 11 a.m. and take a little trip on up there with us.
No, I'm not going to drive down here to take a party bus to a place that's 20 minutes.
Why not?
12 minutes from my house.
But it's a party bus.
To take a party bus down here to get back to my house.
Come on. Come on.
You think the party bus would stop at my house?
No.
Probably not.
No. It is going from this parking lot to A-Lane.
Who's in charge?
You know who's
resident Red Sox fan?
Yeah.
Cooley?
Yeah. Who has just been catching hell the last couple days.
Oh, I got
on this
him.
Station.
I got him in my pocket.
Come
on. Since he left, I'm longer tenured than him.
Well, you should join us on the party
the
bus.
The clock restarts?
Or at least
when
at the blackjack table.
You even come back, the clock restarts.
You going to join us at the blackjack table?
No, because you guys are idiots.
No, it's fun. It's a fun time. Me, Cooley, Kurt,
most
Sam Tung, who is now our new general sales manager.
I'm only there if Johnny's there.
Johnny Ludwig?
Go Cougs.
Oh, he'll be there.
Oh, yeah. Johnny's always there. Yeah.
If Johnny's there, go Cougs. Yeah. Like, we're together.
And then Chuck Hall, our accounts receivable guy,
I love Chuck.
Our controller, he just laughs at us when we lose money. He's, like, not even at the table. He's just sitting behind us watching.
Because he's a money guy, and he's not gambling.
And he,
because he's a money guy.
No, I think he's gambling, but it's just when he's
gambling
done,
in his head about which one of these losers is going to lose all their money first.
He'll come and spectate and just basically be the hecklers in the crowd. And when we lose, he's just... I would have not hit on that.
Yeah, he's the first one.
Backseat better.
Oakley doakley. Well, we got a show for you tonight. Coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll continue our division preview as we lead up to opening day as pitchers, catchers, players are all reported. Spring training is upon us. Last week, if you missed it, we did both the American League and the National League East. This week, we'll dive into the Central as we'll be off next week. So we got to kind of line these up and get these going. So we'll dive into the National League and the American League Central in the 8 o'clock hour. Plus, Joe's got a fun little tidbit about the best center fielder in Major League Baseball. I always think that's a fun, hot goss topic of conversation for us. So we'll get to that at 7:45. But when we come back, tap my head.
Do you want to review this last segment?
What do you mean?
Do you want to check if this last segment was a strike or a ball?
I think I'm going to be cool on it.
Okay.
But that's because I'm the hitter.
Is it one challenge per show?
You know, pitchers are always right.
Yeah, how many challenges?
Pitchers are always right. Pitchers always know if they're right or wrong. So we'll get to ABS next. We'll do that. This is the Hot Corner Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
718 Portland Sports Leader, don't you forget it. We are live from the shadows of the historic Fremont Bridge. There's the Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver 4. They shoot you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit VancouverFord.com. It is still weird that there's just a giant pile of cash in front of me.
Just shoot a rap video.
If you were going to shoot a rap video, which rapper are you?
I'm probably going Lil Wayne circa 2009.
I'm going to go Ja Rule because this is the last time he saw this kind of cash.
I gotta go Lil Jon. Yeah. He's still making that kind of cash.
I mean, that grill costs money.
The royalties that he made so many of those songs. But yeah, that looks ready to go, buddy, for a music video or
Sassy's.
Or Sassy's. Yeah.
I mean, with all these ones in front of me, I'm about to go to Sassy's
or
now.
Or Mary's.
Is there a Mary's?
There is a Mary's. They move locations. Yeah. If they were $2 bills, we'd be at Casa Diablo. There's no doubt about that.
That's right up the road.
Right up the road from here.
Not far. I have never been. I went to Casa Diablo 2, the one that tried to compete with Acropolis across the street.
On 99. Yeah, I used to work in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Not surprised it's not around anymore.
Well, the A-Crop is pretty much.
I mean, what are you doing?
They don't
steak bites.
It's like drug dealing. It's like, this is our territory, okay? Like, know your area. You got north of West Portland. We got southeast. All right, stay in your lane, okay?
I will say, though, the Casa Diablo down the road, the roast beef.
Isn't it vegan? Oh, beef isn't vegan. Yeah, that's right.
What?
Oh, I wasn't talking about the food.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Get yourself a little Arby's cheddar, did you?
Do like me some Casa Diablo.
I hope there's no cheddar. I'm a sans cheddar kind of guy.
Am I dumb for, like, I feel like I read something the other day where it was, like, vegan, but it had meat in it? And I was like, well, yeah,
Casa Diablo is vegan.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm talking about the roast beef,
I get what you're saying. Right. Yeah, the Hope Solo sandwich. I got to lay it out all over again.
No, I got you.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Moving on.
But anyways, vegan food.
Here we are in spring training, as everybody has reported, and things are going down. There's a lot happening. You know, there's Buck just told me some prospect for the Giants that I've never heard before hit a 450 home run. And the announcer said, well, I've never heard a bat crack like that since Barry Bonds.
Oh, boy.
You know, so that's where
we
are.
Get the piss test ready.
Yeah, that's where.
How big is this kid's head?
Yeah, that's where we are right now. But the biggest thing to come out of spring training so far is ABS. And I'm not talking about your bowel movements. We're talking about.
Or your brake system.
We're talking about the automatic ball strike. And it's been interesting to kind of just see when guys call it, whether it's a pitcher or a batter, things like that. It is a test in spring training. It has been going on in the minors for a couple years. Joe, I'm just going to open this up to you. Your initial reactions on the first week or so of ABS in spring training.
I think it's going to add, and I say it's going to add because it's going to be added into the game probably next year, is my guess. I think it adds a wrinkle into the game that is very interesting, that could have some interesting benefits, but also some things that could go against the game. Whereas, like, these umps, man, they've got some egos. And if you challenge a call, like, are they going to be a little pissy for the rest of the game?
A little bit later on? Oh, like, I know this guy ain't got a call.
You thought that was a ball? Okay, I'm not giving this to you the rest of the game. I'm not calling it. Like, I hope that does not happen. But I was watching a John Boy video the other day because it was the Rays versus God. I'm trying to think, maybe the Royals. I can't.
Must watch TV.
Yeah, something pivotal in spring training. But, you know, the pitcher used the challenge early on, thought it was a strike, and it was called a ball, stayed a ball, and they used their challenge, and then they couldn't really use a challenge. They only had one left for the rest of the game. And then they had two more pitches that were called balls that he couldn't challenge because he had already used his challenge. So strategically, like, being smart about when you want to use that challenge, and this is a good thing it's in spring training right now, like figuring out those situations, like, do you want to use it on the second pitch of the first at bat, or do you want to wait until it's a 3-2 count
in the eighth
with a second, you know, in
game 161.
You know, it's going to be interesting to see, like, what situations matter most. Also, I've been seeing a lot of the pitch framing aspect. Like, catchers who are really good at framing pitches, like, are they going to trick their own pitchers in thinking it was a strike?
Yeah, that
because
happened.
They framed a pitch, and so, but it was called a ball, and it was like, Well, the pitcher sees that look like a strike because their catcher framed it really well.
I saw one today that was in the – it just kissed the top right corner.
Oh, I think I know which one you're talking about. They're saying it's like that is the definition of painting the corner.
And, right, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what it was. And it was like, oh, I want to see that.
And it was
and they looked at it, and it literally just on the corner – and there was just a little bit of red there, and they're like, that's a strike.
Yeah. And that was interesting to see that because I didn't realize it was going to be like, if at any point it is touching the strike zone, you know, even just of a fraction of an inch, then it's a strike.
I mean, we see it in tennis, and yeah, it's worked really well in tennis.
Well,
but they can kind of do that whenever because. Because tennis is that that rectangle, you know, that it is so definitive in that. It's never a judgment. I mean, I guess the head chair is judging, but it is definitive in that. To where a strike zone changes and evolves. But, Joe, I think you're spot on with this. What's going to come from it is how does this affect your strategery? How does this affect how, when, and how you do it?
And
if
also,
it's game one of the World Series, okay? It's game one of the World Series. It's Shohei Ohtani's on the mound against Tarek Skubal. Okay, let's just say it's Dodgers, Tigers in the World Series. And it's Tarek Skubal and Shohei Ohtani. And Tarek Skubal's like, look, Dodgers are the evil empire. I need every edge I can get. Am I doing this in the first inning? Or am I waiting for my bullpen in the seventh to do it?
My question is that, and I'm pretty sure I read this correctly, is that you get two challenges, and as long as you get them right,
you get a third.
You just keep them. And yep, it's basically unlimited as long as you're getting the calls right.
I mean, do you guys think that we've had regular challenges, not on the balls and strikes being called specifically in the game for, what, 15 plus years now, maybe even a little bit longer, I think. But do you think that that actually is going to affect the way that these umpires will call the game later on? Are you telling me that, like, in the second inning, if the Mariners decide to challenge and it goes their way, which I've seen happen several times with a team, the umpire's just waiting the entire game to get, like, a get-back call for himself or something like that?
Well, I think Joe mentioned that. Like, if you question me all game, is that going to change my strike zone?
But then also, this could... You know, because pitchers and batters can both challenge. So
right,
it's just a matter of, like, I would hope, fingers crossed, that umpires don't have egos in this, which is kind of asking a lot. But again, there's so many pitches and plays that go into a baseball game that I would hope that one challenge or two challenges, they're not going to be like, you know what, F you guys, I'm not giving you calls.
I honestly don't think umps will change. Like, even if, you know, say Tarek Skubal in the first of the World Series is like, you know, taps his head and it's overturned, and two batters later taps his head and it's overturned for a pivotal third out in the first inning with runners on the corners or something like that. I don't think umps will change their mind. I don't think they will. I think the larger discussion with ABS is... The challenges are this, like, facade to keep the umps there as humans and not go into robo-umps. I almost feel like, as anti-robo-ump as I am, this ABS thing, I feel like it's either go robo-ump or don't go robo-ump.
I
otherwise, it's like a challenge in the NFL. How many times is there a challenge that you could call all game? But you have to be smart about when you call it. You know, it's like a fourth down in the third quarter. You're only down by three. You're like, man, I think we got that fourth down, but I'm not going to use it now. As opposed to just getting things right all the time.
Well, I don't know.
And I think balls and strikes is so minute in the grand scheme of things that the idea of having one or two... I don't know. It feels weird to me. And I'm trying not to be a curmudgeon because last year I was very anti larger stolen bases. I was very anti pitch clock and I was wrong. I was very wrong on that. That worked brilliantly. I thought we had a better game. Things were up. games were faster, stolen bases were up, and games were still faster, offense was still good. So I don't want to be like that, but it's just kind of like, all right, just go robo then.
I hear you. It's like, well, if we can get these calls right, why can't we just use this all the time?
Get it all the time. Get
every call right. I hear you on that. The one thing I do appreciate about this is I didn't realize how quick it was going to be.
Like, it is very quick.
It is so fast. Yeah, it does not take that much time out of the game at all.
I mean, it's no different than the box we see on TV. Right.
Yeah, and so there was one where it was the Padres and Dodgers playing, and I mean, an ump called it a strike, and the batter was like, challenge, and then within seconds, you get the review, and it's clearly a ball, and I was like, dude, if it's, one, if it's showing it this fast, and also showing how bad umps are sometimes, like in real time,
yeah,
which is hilarious. I was like, sign me up. I was like, I'm in on this.
Well, that's the last thing I'll say to you, and then we'll get out of this because we're way up against it, is maybe this really fine-tunes umps. Maybe this says like, hey, guys, if they can do it this fast, if they can see it that clearly, we have to be better, otherwise we're out of a job.
Well, when have we seen umpires have to eat it or referees literally have to eat it in real time? I mean, you're literally talking about their call, like, nope, I'm right. 2 seconds later, oh, I'm proven wrong.
I watch the Premier League, and it's like, guy makes a penalty call, and it's like, well, then they review it, and then he's got to go look at the video, and then he comes back, and he goes, no, I'm wrong. That's a six-minute thing.
Do those guys get penalized for having those wrong calls?
No, of course they don't.
See, I do feel like at some point.
Because the unions and stuff, though, you got to remember that.
No, but there will be a little pushback. I know we got to go, but I do feel like at some point this ABS system is going to be up against the umpires' egos. And if the umpires don't get right with it, because, yeah, there's little kinks that need to be worked out, but if umpires don't agree, they're going to be gone. And I think we are going to see this very soon. And the strike zone is like the hardest thing to figure out, guys. It is so
subjective. Well, it changes batter to batter.
Exactly. So when you're saying like, well, if you're just doing a robo ump to call strikes and balls, it needs to be around the rest of the field and just have them call the entire game. Nah, I don't feel like you need that to call the rest of the game. I think you need this system to kind of centralize what a strike zone actually is so these umpires aren't so full of themselves being like, I know what a strike and a ball is. No, you freaking don't.
I like to believe that this will force the umps to be better.
Yeah.
So do you agree?
Yeah.
I think it'll look at them and say, like, hey, my job might be on the line.
Well, again, hell like, yes. It's just going to be they see a pitch, call it one way, gets challenged, and then they see it, and they're like, oh, wow, okay, I guess I was out to lunch on that one.
Yeah.
And then it makes them question their own judgment, and then they have to reevaluate the strike zone for that specific player. Yeah.
Thank God they're doing it in spring training and not in real baseball right now. Let's cool off and see how this goes down. All right. When we come back, divorce is a very messy, messy, messy thing. And not Leo messy, because he's the GOAT, but a very like dirty, gross thing. And we'll see how that all plays out. That's Joe Fisher. I'm Patrick Harris. We'll throw it over to Schultzy for sports. Coming up in hour two, we'll dive into the American League and the National League Central as we preview divisions leading up to opening day. Just a reminder, we're off next week. Ducks basketball, they take on, wait, don't tell me, I looked this up, Indiana. Next Tuesday, tip at 6, pregame at 5:30, 5 o'clock, something like that. It'll preempt primetime.
It's usually how it goes.
And so,
screaming Joey Mack.
And so we'll be off next week for the Ducks, Indiana. Mike Woodson. I read. Not Mike Woodson.
Oh, yeah. He's gone.
He got fired? Or
I believe.
Well, I don't know. Is he still on the sidelines?
I thought he was still the coach.
He said he's leaving at the end of the year.
Yeah, I think that's what I remember seeing is that he's not going to come back after this year.
Yeah, he's still coaching. He's going to be sitting in Bobby Knight's infamous chair that he threw in his next game.
Reddit college basketball is actually hilarious.
Well, Reddit can be hilarious regardless.
Yeah, Reddit college basketball, though, is hilarious. One guy said, I have insider info that if Mike Woodson doesn't step down tomorrow, then you can ban me from this sub. And Mike Woodson stepped down the next day.
Wow.
Yeah,
good for them.
Right?
Call
he was
shot.
Just like some dude. And everybody was like, hot takes exposed. See you later, bud.
Make that guy a mod.
I know, right? We'll make him the next, like, Indiana Shams. Or
anyway, so we'll be off next week. And coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, we'll preview the Centrals. And in 10 minutes, Joe's got some cool center field stuff that we'll get into. But let's get into this. ESPN and Major League Baseball have come to a quote-unquote mutual agreement that this will be the last year of baseball on ESPN.
I was going to say more like a mutual disagreement.
They're breaking the contract and things are over because ESPN has decided they don't want to play baseball.
There was a deadline by March 1st for an opt-out, basically, where like the parties could...
Alex Bregman?
the parties could choose to leave the contract because it's supposed to go through 2028. There was 3 years on the deal left after this season, 2026, 27, and 28. And, yeah, March 1st, there is a deadline, essentially, that says that the parties can opt out of this deal. And so they've been in negotiations. They've been talking. They've been trying to figure things out, and they weren't. I mean, I don't know where we want to go with this, but basically it came down to money, as always.
Of course.
ESPN is paying $550 million per year for this agreement.
I'm not going to lie. That seems real cheap considering the NBA is like,
yeah,
you know, as $7 billion and nobody watches the NBA.
Well, ESPN did not think that was a good deal, seeing that Apple was paying $85 a year for their deal.
Their Friday night deal.
And Roku was paying $10 per year.
And did you know how many actual games ESPN has been airing at this point? For $550 million, they were
30.
Airing. Yeah, about 30, yeah, yeah. Which is
okay.
Nothing.
Let's get out of these dollar values, okay? The reality is that ESPN has basically decided to not play baseball to fill that baseball coverage on a Sunday night with...
WNBA? I mean,
Joe's going WNBA. What do you got,
Jordan? That's the only other thing going on in the summer on
Sundays. What do you got, Jordan? What else are they going to play instead of baseball on a Sunday night at 5 o'clock?
They're going to add like a new football lead-in show.
Yeah,
TGL.
And that's what I would say. It's not even TGL. I'm with Schultzy on this. Joe, I love your WNBA call.
It's not bad.
The reality is, it's like, what, for like Orlovsky to yell about football again? On Sunday night?
Well, but there's going to be Sunday night football happening on NBC at the same exact time.
But not,
so, I mean,
but not from April through August.
Yeah, I'm done. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. That's why this... I always find it interesting, and that's why I can't wait for the next 10 years of streaming and what these people do, is when they're talking about what gets clicks, you know, what gets eyeballs... Okay, on a Sunday night at 5 o'clock, who cares if you're playing Cardinals Marlins? Because it's better than anything else you could play. It literally is. Live sports is better than anything else you can play. If you're tuning in to CBS Sports, ESPN, this channel, 1080 The Fan, whatever it is, I would rather see live. I'm watching Alabama is up by 30 on a ranked Mississippi State on this TV. And I would much rather watch this game than someone telling me where Matt Stafford or Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson is going.
Well, yeah, and you can get that.
This isn't even a baseball thing.
You can get that just about anywhere.
This is just, I'd rather see live sports. You know, like... ESPN's always like, you know, we love hockey. We love hockey. Yeah, if it's convenient for you. But if it's not convenient for you, you don't care.
Well, and this is the problem with ESPN. And I was talking about this with my girlfriend last night is, you know, I was had the TGL thing on because I was like, you know what? I haven't given it a fair shake. Let's watch it. I'm in the golf mood. Golf season's getting close. Let's take a gander.
I did the same with Nations.
And then,
Four Nations. I did the same with Four Nations. I was like, not a big hockey guy, but hell, it's on. I'll watch it.
And then right after it ends, they go into SportsCenter and they spend the first 10 minutes talking about TGL in the playoff race. And hey, we got Justin Thomas here for an interview and they're breaking it down. And I told her, I'm like, ESPN, and this has been happening for years, I was like, they're just annoying because they are going to cater And this happens with Fox Sports. It happens with them. They're going to cater to what they have media deals with.
Remember, they had NASCAR for a while, and they were like, "We're bringing in what's the Southern dude with the big draw who also did college football?"
Yeah, Marty
Jeanette.
No, not Jeanette.
No, he was Marty. God, he was doing golf too.
Marty Jeanette's Marty a real
Smith.
Guy.
Marty Smith. Marty, yeah, he's on this TGL.
So, time out.
Yeah.
Who's Marty Jeanette? That's a real person.
I don't know.
Googling, okay.
Marty
don't
Smith.
Know.
But Marty Smith was like this big time Southern college football guy. And then ESPN got NASCAR and they were like, "Let's bring in Marty Smith." And he's like, "Yeah, these guys drive right. Left.
Turn to the left sometimes." To me, it's dumb. It's annoying. And also, I know MLB is pissed because they're like, "Dude, you don't really give us a whole lot of love anymore."
And that's the best part, is that Major League Baseball stuck to their ground. Again, this conversation isn't like my love for baseball. This conversation is calling people out for what they do. I think hockey should do this too. Major League Baseball went to Joe's point, went to ESPN and said, "Look, you don't give us coverage. You don't care about us.
We get our game, and
you
then
throw
you
baseball
talk about
on Sunday, and every once in a while a Wednesday, and you pretend to care for a half hour before and zero time afterwards."
But is that because of them, or is that because they're playing the hits, and idiots across this country will continue to listen to segments about the Dallas Cowboys and whether or not LeBron and the Los Angeles Lakers are going to win another title? I'm a baseball guy, y'all.
I don't even have the Laker game on.
But
it's, well, to your point, Jordan, it's a change in sports media landscape where the hyperbolic dude yelling and freaking out the entire time, people like that and like having angry commentators that are, "I can't believe this. This is
absolutely disgusting."
How much money did they give Stephen A. Smith recently?
Well, and again, it's like when you're paying a lot of those guys, or when you're paying Kendrick Perkins. Yeah. And again, it also goes down to like, what's the pecking order of who are we paying? What are we paying for most?
What I would like it to break down to, it's
we're paying MLB the less, the least amount. Okay, we're going to give them the least amount of coverage over the NBA and the NFL and whatever else we
have. ESPN. You want to be a football brand? You're the football channel. Apple TV right now, they're the MLS channel. Who's to say that the Apple TV model isn't the future for those other sports?
Well, for baseball, I think
you're a baseball fan. You tune into Schultz EPN, you know, or whatever it's called. You know, whatever person grabs it, it's like if you're a baseball fan, that's where you go. And maybe that's the best, because I'm with baseball on the fact that you don't love us. You pretend to love us. You don't do our sport any benefit. You get, all of a sudden, it's the World Series and Ryan Clark is choosing who's going to win the World Series. No, thank you.
Well, and they just got the wild card round recently when they expanded it. They have the home run derby, and so they're not going to have that anymore after this season. And I did see a good point also. It's like, okay, well, MLB, who's going to give you $550 million a year,
if
not more?
It's the Pac-12 conversation all over again.
But quite frankly, if I'm Fox, I'm making a bid for it.
Without a doubt.
But you don't have to pay that. You're not going to have to pay $550.
Well, I mean, you probably will.
Fox already has the World Series.
Well, I bet you Fox is going to air more than 30 games, and that's why.
Without a doubt. Because they look at it on a Saturday and a Sunday, and there's no football. They're like, "I almost put your finger on the dumb button." You know, Fox looks at it and says, "Look, I don't have anything else going on.
Yeah,
what
literally.
The hell do I care? Throw a baseball game on."
Yeah.
People want to watch live sports on Saturday.
But not
Saturday
baseball.
At noon?
Saturday, Sunday.
In July? What else are they going to watch?
There's nothing else
They're
going
not
on.
Watching anything. They're out playing with their families, or they're out messing around, like doing stuff with their friends. Like, I am a baseball guy, but unfortunately, it's been seen in the last 5-6 years that it has consumed the most in little bits.
But it's not about what people are doing in the summer. It's about you have to have something on the air. You might as well have live sports on the air, as opposed to, is Travis Kelce going to come back? Well,
and
I don't care.
And live sports is the last bastion of appointment television.
That's it. Like, Joe's completely right.
Like, I can watch whatever I want to watch at whatever time. I want to watch the Orioles. I need to be in front of a TV, in front of a screen at a specific time every single day.
The other night was like, do you want to watch another episode of Modern Family? Or do you want to watch Canada, USA, and hockey. I was like, man, I don't care about hockey at all. Yeah, I'll turn it on. And I watched the entire third period and all of overtime, and Connor McDavid scored, and I went, wow, that was so fun. I watched the post-game coverage. And my wife is looking at me like, can we watch Modern Family? And I'm like, just in a minute. And that wouldn't have happened if there wasn't live sports on TV.
And that's what advertisers love, knowing that there's going to be people in front of a TV in a program. You can tell them this many people are going to be watching at this certain time.
And I'll tell you what, even if it is Marlins, Rockies, okay? We think these two might be the worst teams in baseball. Marlins, Rockies on Sunday Night Baseball. Do you really think Dan Orlovsky or Kendrick Perkins are getting more viewers than a live baseball game?
On some Sundays, yes.
I was going to say, unfortunately, some Sundays probably.
Or if they, if,
I hate both of
if
you.
If they did like a Pat McAfee.
I wanted you to be like, you're so right, Patrick.
Rerun
you're
or whatever.
Genius.
I mean.
I want you to be right, bro. I do.
Yeah.
Why did they end baseball tonight all those years ago?
I think it just also.
I'm worried Carl Ravitch is out of a job.
Well, I think it's also going to depend on, you know, games and matchups. And that's why ESPN for years was banking on Yankees Red Sox. It's like, well, we know people are going to watch that. Let's just keep putting that on and just want to talk about keep playing the hits. They feel like those are the only two markets in baseball. Well, I guess L.A. now for the Dodgers. But
Apple TV should go after Carl Ravitch right now.
I mean, I'm surprised right he's now. Not already on MLB right Network. Now.
Go get Carl Ravitch, Brian Kenny, and just poach.
Can they afford his hairpiece?
Dude, he's so great.
Well, guys, also, Ravitch. Too, really quickly, I know we're up against it. Look at the ancillary networks that have opened up. You know, the NHL Network, NBA, NFL, MLB Network. MLB has a fantastic, from midnight to midnight, lineup of coverage.
Listen to it on SiriusXM.
Yeah, there you go. They've got the channel on the radio, too. They do spring training
when previews. When Dirt and Sprague aren't on, of course.
Exactly. Or you can just go podcast it whenever you want. But they've got all the spring training previews of teams. ESPN never did that. They always just hit the big ones and the, as we've talked about, the hits. And they played the same things over and over again. You know, NFL Network has good coverage, but I do think that ESPN still supplements that. NBA Network doesn't have great coverage, so where do you get that filled in? ESPN. Like, it's just not right. done well
right.
other than MLB, and I think that took away from ESPN.
Right, and we'll see how this all plays out. When we come back, Joe's got a center field thing for me. We'll do that next. Hot Corner, 10 to the Fan. Coming up in the second hour, we'll get into our previews again, as we do leading up to the opening day. We'll dive into the Central. Joe, do you want to do American League or National League first? What are you feeling?
Let's go National League. This is an American League show. We'll finish
this. This is an American League show. All three of us are American League, and this is my division.
Do you want to start off with your division?
No, we should probably start with the National League, because that'll like keep me in line to not go too far on my team. We had your division last week. It's my division this week, and in 2 weeks we'll get over to the old Schultzy over there. You know, that guy's ready, fired up.
Yeah, that division sucks.
That division, I actually think, is the most unpredictable of every division in Major League Baseball.
It is both a dumpster fire and a black hole of who's going
to
win.
So we'll get to that coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. But, Joe, you had an interesting thing going on about center fielders.
Yeah, because I saw
the sexiest position not called shortstop.
Buster Olney is doing his...
Who's that guy?
Just some dude that talks about baseball from time to time. He doesn't know what he's talking about, though. Except this time. He's doing his top tens at every position for 2025.
You know what's funny? I'll be real quick. In other sports, I don't love this. Like, the top 10 quarterbacks, like, I really don't like it. But in baseball, stats define. So it's like so much easier. It's like, oh, okay, well, Josh Allen's stats are better than Patrick Mahomes. But in baseball, it's pretty straightforward. So I like seeing the top position guys.
Well, and also, you know, this was an ESPN Plus article, and I pay for that. And so I feel like I should get my money's worth and actually read this thing.
Tax write-off. Work expense.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Always file work expenses. Major League Baseball package? Work expense.
Darn tootin'.
So yeah, my Hulu, Disney Plus, yes. ESPN expense. Plus. How about that?
Work anything expense. You watch your anything you watch your sports on.
Work expense.
Slightly aroused. Anyways, calm down, Joe.
He just broke the table about his tax return.
But I thought the top 10 center fielders would be interesting because Aaron Judge is moving to right
field. He's moving to right.
Mike Trout is moving to
right.
Mookie Betts is not going to be playing
shortstop.
Yeah, so I was like, well, who the hell is the number one center fielder in the MLB? And again, when you think about all those guys leaving and who is playing center field, number one, it caught me off guard. Can you guess who number one on this list was?
Center fielder, Michael Harris II. You know, I told Voldemort years ago this guy was going to be great.
He was
my cousin, Michael Harris II.
He was number three.
Number three. Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
Other center fielders. You know, I don't know. I feel like center field is with guys moving.
No, it's not Cedric Mullins.
With guys moving and kind of rechanging, you know, maybe Cody Bellinger. Is he number two?
Cody Bellinger was number seven.
Oh, interesting.
He's still playing center?
You know,
yes.
I think we always forget, at least when you're my age, you know, knocking on 60, I'll be 60 in June.
you look great.
Thanks, bud. You remember the old days of center field, whether it was Willie Mays and Duke Snyder and Mickey Mantle, or you go over the years, Ken Griffey Jr., Andrew Jones, et cetera, and then you get to Mike Trout and stuff. Center field is not as sexy these days as it was when we were younger, so I don't know.
And for the sake of time, I will tell you right now, number one center fielder in the MLB, according to Buster Olney, Julio Rodriguez.
Whoa.
And when I saw that, I was like, wow, what, really? And then I saw
someone tell me why, damn it.
I saw the rest of the list. I mean, Jackson Merrill. At number two.
Still got a lot to learn.
Michael Harris II at three. Brenton Doyle in Colorado at number four.
Kids.
You can't put a Rocky even in the top 10. I'm sorry.
O'Neill Cruz Doyle's at five. Yeah, Byron Buxton six. Bellinger seven.
By that field.
Luis Robert Jr. at eight.
He plays center? Oh, God.
Yeah, is he really?
See, but that's what I mean. Left. Like, center is a little down, but I am glad that Buster put Julio won.
And the big thing just talking about this article is he just references slow starts at the start of the article. Mm-hmm. And then he got some quotes from Mark Teixeira because he said that he had a very career-wise month-by-month splits. Mark Teixeira's hitting was very similar as how his OPS always started really bad. And then as the season went along, he got a lot better. And how the spring training approach for Julio is going to be a bit different this year, in that basically it's like, dude, you're going to hit and hit and hit and get as much ABs as you can in spring training. So that way we don't have this whole starting late trend and starting to hit the ball in July, August, September. Like, we're going to get this worked out immediately, get the rust off, get you in spring training, and we don't care who you're playing, who we're playing, we're going to get you some ABs.
I mean, I think it's the reality. I mean, if you look at the outfielders of the future, okay, obviously Judge, Bellinger, dudes like that, Soto in the outfield. I mean, Soto's
not
part of the future. He's not one of the old guys. But when you look at the old guys, Trout, Harper, I know Harper doesn't play in the outfield anymore, but let's pretend he did. It's the outfield is a young man's game now. You know, when we were younger, that was your superstar was an outfielder. And now it's a young man's game. Jackson Merrill, Jackson Churio, Julio Rodriguez. You're looking at
Dylan Cruz was number 10 on this list.
PCA.
It's that or it's a throwaway. It's like a Tommy Edman from the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Tommy Edman was honorable mention.
I believe his name is Tommy Taters.
Tommy Taters for the Dodgers.
But the outfield is a young man's game right now. Ronald Acuna Jr., Fernando Tatis. Like, yeah, Acuna and Tatis are bigger names than Churio and Merrill, but they're all around ish the same age, and they all got something to prove. I think it's really cool that Julio is the number one, because from a skill standpoint, from playing the outfield and what your potential is at the plate, Julio has all the tools to be the number one. And I don't want to say he's a Griffey because he's in Seattle, but that is what made Griffey special. That's what made Trout special. That's what made Willie special. That's what made Mantle, Snyder, all those Andrew Jones for a little bit, that's made all them special, was not only were they amazing center fielders, but they were also great at the plate. Is Julio the number one center fielder in baseball?
I think time will tell. I think Jackson Merrill has a great chance to be able to climb up to number one.
I think so, too.
But
like
again, I mean, as we mentioned, Julio.
And the Padres need him.
Yeah. Julio,
just like the Mariners need Julio.
He needs to start strong. I think that if you're a Mariners fan, you don't want to wait till July, August to see him turn it on.
And you've paid Julio. You haven't paid Jackson Merrill.
That's true.
So let's see some from Julio. That's an interesting tidbit from Buster Olney, who I guess I'll believe in. All right, when we come back, let's get into the Central. Let's preview who you got. The Cubs look good? The Royals? The Tigers? Like, where are we going? Brewers just going to do Brewer things? We'll get to that next. Hot Corner, loaded second hour, 10 to the Fan.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.